Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 31 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com, and whew, did that in 3 seconds. Boom, nailed it.
Really proud of you. Wow. Did anyone understand that listening?
A Wild Podcast Has Appeared is your new favorite Pokemon podcast because we cover anything and everything about our favorite pocket monsters. We talk about the games, both video and trading card variety, and really anything on mobile too as well. We cover Pokemon stuff, gear, etc. We cover the anime. We cover the manga at times. We cover it all. And the whole purpose of this show is to help make you a better Pokemon fan. Whether you're a lapsed fan, diehard fan, we've got a little bit of everything for anyone, really.
Yep.
I'm Jim Viscardi. I'm one of your hosts. And as always, Megan Peters and Christian Hoffer are here to share their Pokemon knowledge and expertise and love. Because that's really what brings us all together here. It's our love of Pokemon.
I don't know if that's what Hoffer came here for.
Hoffer doesn't do it for the love.
No, I do it for the love, just not the love of Jim. Whoa. That's all.
Wow. All right, there we go.
We break the show down into 3 sections. We do a quick hit news section where we just sort of go through some of the stuff that may have happened over the last week. And then we take a break. We do a second part is a deep dive into where we talk a bit more about a certain something. We're continuing our Sword and Shield coverage. We probably will over the next couple of weeks. And then at the very, very end, Christian Hoffer works to make you a little bit smarter by giving you a Pokemon fact of the week. It is the fan favorite segment. And so if you're new, wait till the very end and you're going to, if you don't fall in love with this podcast up until that point, that point will make you fall in love with the podcast.
No pressure, Hoffer.
No pressure.
Just like a casual statement.
It's okay. I'm used to succeeding under extreme pressure. I'm like a diamond.
As the Pokemon Company is off to do, we got some brand new news before we started.
Immediately
recording.
Before.
Like, as soon as I went and hit send on this week's script, just sent it out and then bam, news break.
It's just so funny. Come on, guys. So we obviously record a day before the show is live. Show goes live every Thursday. And so on Wednesdays, it's funny. We either get Pokemon news on a Wednesday or a Thursday. And for the most part, it's happened on a Wednesday. There have been few rare instances where it's happened on Thursday, but it's almost like we've timed it perfectly. It's total accident. We just picked a day in the week to be like, we're going to make the show this day.
Well, it's because we picked it and the Pokemon company listened, and they were like, we got to make sure we're on this podcast. Hoffer, get it on the script.
The biggest news, I would say, of today.
I hated that.
See what I did there?
I hated that so much.
Gigantamax Snorlax.
I love just like, it's so good. I love it so much.
So there is a max raid event happening next week for fans.
Yeah. Oh God. Oh.
Right.
Oh, December is next week.
That's right.
Oh man, that's awful.
Can you give us some more details, Christian?
Okay. So starting December 4th, Gigantamax max raid battles featuring Gigantamax Snorlax will start appearing more in the wild. In order to activate this, you will need to be connected to the internet. That will allow you, your game, to get the latest Gigantamax, like, max raid battle stuff. You don't need to be connected to the internet the entire time. It's not exactly an update, but the new data, I think it, like, unlocks certain things. Gigantamax Snorlax is a big old version of Snorlax. Basically, the seeds from all the stuff it eats, on it, like, that's stuck in its fur, grows as a result of the Dynamax energy and becomes a park on his belly.
It makes complete no with a berry sense. Tree.
I mean, it makes a little bit of sense.
No, it doesn't. But
no, it doesn't. How do you get a cultivated, like, 10 to 2 park on your stomach?
You are you are thinking too hard about this.
No, we're thinking that is exactly my problem with this friend. The issue is it would make so much more sense to me if
I said, just don't understand.
He Gigantamaxes and there's just a giant I don't understand where
a Gigantamaxed Snorlax is going to fit. That is not fitting in one of the gyms.
It'll fit in the gyms.
No,
everything. Yes.
If the giant cake fits in there, Snorlax can.
My Snorlax has to be bigger than the giant cake.
My question is,
he has a park on his tummy.
My question is when do we get the giant cake versus the giant Snorlax, and who eats each other?
That is like the Ouroboros of Pokemon right there. Just
that'll be a snake tag team eating card itself one day.
Oh, God. But yes, so it does come with its own Gigantamax move, the G-Max move Replenish, which both does damage and replenishes any berries that a Pokemon on your team may have eaten beforehand. So,
okay, that's actually pretty useful.
So now, hold on a second.
Yes.
I need some clarification here.
Okay.
So Snorlax does not currently show up in raids right now? Okay.
No, it shows up in raids. It only shows up in its Dynamax form. So basically, I mean,
so if you catch a Snorlax during this time, you will get the Gigantamax move. Like if I just catch a Snorlax, it's in the wild area. I won't get
that. No. Okay, so we're still kind of working out on exactly how to if you can obtain Gigantamax Pokemon in the wild just by catching a normal one.
Mm-hmm.
We do know that Snorlax currently, Gigantamax Snorlax, is not available in the game. We also know that starting on December 4th, it will be. Now, whether that means that like the Snorlax that pops up right as you enter in the bridge area of the wild area, we don't know if, you know, suddenly he'll become Gigantamax. I honestly am not 100% sure of that information. I have failed as a Pokemon person.
Man, we set Christian up real high, and then almost immediately. Just cut him right down.
Well, to be fair, I would be surprised if that was the case with the Snorlax. I mean, they still need to be able to offer just the regular Dynamax version. I feel like, if anything, like it might be like a very small spawn rate, like maybe every once in 50 encounters it might be Gigantamax, but especially if this is like an event much like Pokemon Go, this is going to be a way, like, you can bet I'm going to be playing Shield when this raid event happens. So I feel like it would almost kind of disincentivize if they were like, well, you don't have to do it. Every Snorlax you see from now on will be Gigantamax. So,
but here's the other thing, though, right? Like, the encounters are still theoretically random, right? Because, like, isn't that whole sort of big? Well, isn't that the whole big thing right now with raids that, like, people are messing with their clocks and stuff and trying?
Yeah, well, it's an easy way to trigger. Like, if you don't like the raids, I think they're either have fixed it or are about to fix that. But right now, like, you know, if you screw around with your clocks, the raids reset every 12 hours. And so, you know, all you have to do is push your clock back for 12 hours if you don't like the raids that are on there. So it's an easy, like, people are basically farming for Gigantamax Pokemon that way. Because, you know, you get like 4 or 5 raids in the wild area. And while you can just go and complete the raids in order to unlock a new set of raids, you know, people are just finding it easier to, you know, cheat the system because, you know, that's how people work. But yeah, so I mean, and here's the thing, like, if you can't catch a Gigantamax Snorlax during this event, which will take place December 4th through early January, it'll still be part of the game. It's like right now, it's basically just an increased spawn rate. This isn't like Pokemon Go, in which, like, once this raid boss leaves, it's gone until the next time we make this raid boss available. It is not like that. So you'll be able to have a chance to find Snorlax in its Gigantamax form moving forward. Right now, it's like with Dreadnought or Corviknight or Butterfree, there are both Dynamax raids and Gigantamax raids. That will continue to be the case.
Okay, fair enough. Moving to Pokemon Go, a new legendary has entered the fray.
Yes, it's Terrakion, the second of the Swords of Justice. Players can get that between now and sometime in mid-December. It's not the greatest Pokemon. I was going
to say, stats-wise and moves-wise, it doesn't look...
No, I mean, and, like, people can beat it up. If you have, like, a psychic with the psychic moveset, you can beat it up pretty easily. I mean, I've seen... I know people are already beating it with just two people, so it's not that hard. Hmm. But, you know, you got to keep that churn going. Got to keep fans interested.
Is there, like, a master list somewhere of Pokemon that are not in Pokemon Go?
At this point, yeah. I mean, well, so right now... We've got about maybe 2/3 of the Gen 5 Pokemon, and then Gen 6,
well, right.
Most of Gen 7, most of Gen 8 that's not available. So, I mean, there's like 900. Yeah, I'd about say, I think now there are less Pokemon not available in Pokemon Go than there would be in Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Nice.
But yeah, so there's a new legendary. Go forth, psychic it to death.
3 years later. It. Pokemon Go finally gets some merchandise. Official merchandise. I remember when Pokemon Go first came out and everyone was like bootlegging their own, you know, Etsy stores rampant with
so many
merchandise. I am shocked it took them this long to
get like,
on board with the most basic of merchandise. Love you, Pokemon Company, but this line looks like cock garbage.
It looks better than the bootleg trucker hat I got for Team Mystic, though.
I mean, I don't mind. So there's a bunch of shirts, and they are basically black t-shirts and black long sleeve shirts with the Pokemon Go logo on one side and one of the three team logos on the other side. The only ones of these I actually kind of like are the hoodies.
The leggings? It's
like, yeah. Not the leggings. The hoodies. I literally said the hoodies.
Yeah.
And the leggings aren't even, for the record, the leggings aren't actually Pokemon Go merchandise. They just linked it up with the Pokemon Go merchandise because it features the three legendary birds. It's like they had like the Articuno, Moltres, and Zapdos sitting cuties. And it's like, hey, look, here's more Pokemon Go merchandise. It's like, yeah, no, that's not actually a thing. But yeah, so like the hoodies are like the varsity hoodies. Mm-hmm. So it's got kind of like the look of a varsity jacket. And they look all right. If you have somebody who really wants official Pokemon Go merchandise, here you go. But I'll be honest, you're 100% right, Jim. I'm guessing that the people who want Pokemon Go merchandise already like loaded up Etsy people. I mean, I see people all the time when I do Pokemon Go events with Pokemon Go.
Just like wearing their team things. Well, that's the craziest thing, right? Like if you're going to make Pokemon Go merchandise, like make it cool. Like it's not like they're incapable of doing it. They have great apparel. This to me just feels like an afterthought and
I just don't understand.
It's almost like someone at the Pokemon Center forgot to push the Go button when Pokemon Go first launched for the merchandise and was just like cleaning up before the holidays and whatnot and was like, oh my gosh, we haven't set this live. We just need to get this out there.
So I know that the process, because you know this is available on the Pokemon Center online retail store, and it does seem that merchandise there seems, I don't know if it's like a licensing issue, the Pokemon Company has a lot of, you know, licensing partners here in the United States that sell shirts, like, you know, like you see Pokemon clothes at Target and Walmart and Hot Topic and wherever branded stuff is sold. So I think it might be an issue with, like, you know, dealing with like their licensing partners and licensing agreements, because I've noticed that like the Pokemon Center, they get a lot of cool merchandise, but sometimes it's months or even years after it hits Japan. And it's also like, you know, it seems to move deliberately slowly, which I think is like, you know, pretty interesting as someone who like visits the Pokemon Center online store on like a weekly basis. It's kind of strange, and I think it's probably has something to do with licensing. That's just my like idle speculation. I don't know.
Nice. Mm-hmm. This next story I love quite a bit. So we've been talking, you know, before Sword and Shield came out about the various leaks and things that have come up. And generally when things like this happen, you don't ever expect the person who has done most of the leaking to get caught or be brought to justice or whatever. And the Pokemon Company did not take this one laying down, because they are going right after them in the best way possible.
So they are suing John Doe's like 1 through 3. So they I think they have identified 3 separate leakers. Now they're not going after the people who like vague leaked like months ago. Mm. You know, yeah. Like we had some of this information. They're not going after those. They're going after the people who posted the pictures of the strategy guide.
Yep.
And maybe the people who posted screenshots of the game.
Yeah, that account was 900% their screenshots of those tweets, which have since been deleted. Their screenshots of it in the lawsuit. So,
I mean, I'm not shocked. There's a reason we didn't talk about this on the podcast. We were under, you know, an NDA, and I'm assuming that whoever had those were also under an NDA. Mm-hmm. You know, the Pokemon company does go after people who break embargo like this. This has been a problem for as long as I can remember with the game. And they've sued people. I remember there's a very prominent news site called Cerebee, which they are like the go-to Pokemon news site. And they got into a lot of trouble for posting leaks of, I believe it was Pokemon Black and White. Mm-hmm. And so they've had a really strict, like, we are not hosting images. We are not even talking about stuff that has leaked unless it comes from, you know, it's one thing like, okay, if something, if a store, for instance, like, you know, pushes something early and it's available for public sale, there's nothing you can do about that. That's on the store. It's not our job as journalists not to report on stuff once it becomes publicly available. Mm-hmm. However, this was, you know, definitely an NDA break and they're going to sue and they are going to be punished.
There's also that window of time, too, right, where, like, once the game is kind of in people's hands or it's more readily available than just beyond Game Freak and the Pokemon Company and things like that, that's where things get a little bit tricky. We're like, you know, next month we may get a rumor or something, or we may get some information may pop out about what the next game is or where the next game, you know?
Like Pokemon Stars, that thing that definitely freaking existed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is like, so with the... with the leaks and stuff, I mean, we saw them as they were happening in real time and in the lawsuit. I mean, it specifically says, like, you know, this affected our sales. It affected, you know, like, meanwhile, greatly affected.
It's making money. And I mean,
it has, it's one of the fastest selling Nintendo Switch titles ever. I think it's the most selling. It's sold like 6 million copies so far. And the thing that's just frustrating me is, like, you know, as somebody who does create content, whether it's writing or, you know, on my own time, like, I put a lot of work and effort into it, and that is nowhere near on the scale or the production value of a video game like Pokemon Sword and Shield. And these people have their work just trampled on by these people who were leaking it, not in the greatest quality and within circles that weren't necessarily framing it in an objective light. They were clearly doing it with a bias, because within some circles, they were just being like, look at this, this isn't great.
With the Dex controversy.
Yeah, with that. Because as soon as this lawsuit happened, I mean, if you go on Reddit or anything like that within the Pokemon community.
That's all people talked about was just the Dex leak.
Yes, the Dex leak. And so now that this lawsuit's out, you go out there and people are like, oh, I can't believe Pokemon's doing this. They're just so angry that they got sold out early. And it's like, no, the people who had this agreed to a contractual obligation that they would not share it. So it's not like Pokemon's doing this out of vengeance. They've done it before. Mm-hmm. They have every right to. And honestly, like, I'm super happy somebody's standing up for the craft. Sorry, I'm going on a soapbox. But
no, I mean, I have a big
issue with leakers and stuff like that.
The thing that I don't like about this is that, you know, not the lawsuit. Like, you know, once again, Pokemon Company is perfectly justified in this lawsuit. What I don't, you know, the thing that bugged me about these leaks is that, you know, it really punishes those of us who agree to play by the rules. We see this issue all the time. We come from the comics world. There's a very notorious site that loves to leak stuff. Like, because, you know, retailers will post the stuff on Tuesday and, you know, they like, we don't have an embargo, pip, pip, cheerio. we don't have to follow it. And, you know, and it just makes stuff worse for the rest of us. So, you know, now, like, review copies get, like, stamped down. And so, like, my big worry is because of these leaks, we won't be able to review whatever the next game is. We got these games, like, 2 weeks early, and it allowed us
we had plenty of time
to craft a lot of quality content. It really helped, you know, with our, you know, planning out stuff. Like, you know, like we were able to figure out, like, here's the big reveals. Here's what people are going to care about. I mean, did we write up, like, every single article before these games came out? No, but it really helped us get a solid jump start, and it really helped us. It really helped me personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's definitely helpful.
Yeah, with planning out our coverage. And when people do stuff like that, it makes my job personally and like our jobs, like, you know, collectively harder.
Yeah.
And that sucks. Like, you know, like I can't emphasize when people do stuff like this. And it's one thing, like, you know, leaks that happened like 6 months ago, like that's fine. It's like these aren't rumors, you know, like let's be clear. There's a very clear delineation here between, you know, like reporting on rumors and all that stuff, like go nuts, going around a system that's set in place that just punishes people who follow the rules. And that sucks.
Yeah. And they freaking sucks. And Pokemon Company did wind up stopped sending out review copies. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it was a couple dozen outlets came out and they were like, we were supposed to get them. The leaks happened. They pulled all review copies. So luckily we got it before. Mm-hmm. Whoever those three John Does were started.
Yeah,
started
like, and don't get me wrong. I love spoilers more than anyone else, I think. Like, when movies come out, whatever, like, I don't care. Just tell me what happened, right? Like, and mm-hmm. I'm very much of the journey and going on that. But at the same time, like, you know, just going out to deliberately, you know, spoil stuff and show stuff that just isn't ready necessarily to be out there yet is just, it's just never fun. Pokemon Company has to do what it's doing right now, because it has to just sort of set that precedence. That way, someone who thinks that they may want to do it, you know, again or whatever. And it's not that, you know, I see it online too, where it's like, oh, well, you know, screw the reviewers who are holding all this back. It's like no one's holding anything back. It's, you know, for us, and like Christian said, it's what it does is help us frame, you know, the information in the game as, you know, people who have been in the business in the industry for as long as we have, in a way that is both accessible to new fans who may be coming to the game and make it relevant to diehards. And so, mm-hmm. you know, it's a very weird balance that we have to do. And I'm not saying like, oh, woe is us for having to do this, but at the same time,
I'm saying it's that.
Like, but at the same time, know, like, yeah, like the excitement for this was at a fever pitch. And like, I think that's what really, you know, had the embargo window been maybe just a week shorter, I don't think it would have been necessarily as rampant as it was. But, mm-hmm. But you know, I mean, that's the risk they take. It's the risk we take, and whatever.
Yeah.
But let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on to something that's much less soulless than that. Oh, hey, it's Funko Pops.
Christian doesn't like Funko Pops. We get it. We get it, Christian, that you think they are soulless with their eyes. But when you look at that Eevee, it is adorable.
Yeah, like adorable like a black hole.
Oh. Christian. Funko is putting out an Eevee, the next in its line of Pokemon. We have officially gone through all of the starters.
Yes.
And yep. Now we have started. And so naturally, who best to be next? But everyone's favorite.
Eevee.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got it.
So So, you know, if you want what's sure to be the first of like 7 or 8 soulless Funko Pops showing various Eevee evolutions.
Yes,
get your
you.
Start. It'll make you. For. I mean, I'm clear. I do not like the Funko Pops. I never have. I don't understand, but I understand that a lot of people do have them. And if you know somebody who likes that sort of thing, this would be the perfect Christmas present. I will not rain on their parade. Everyone has different likes, and just because I personally do not dislike them mm-hmm. does not mean that I do not see
the value in them. Perfectly priced collectible.
I appreciate it, and this I will just be quick on this tangent. I appreciate it for the anime licensing like Pokemon.
Yeah,
because anime collectibles are so expensive.
Yes.
But when they're imported over, they're difficult to get. A lot of time they're not licensed correctly. They are hard to get, and Funko, God bless them, has done a lot of anime and also very obscure anime. They have FLCL Pops, which I say is obscure. It's a very well-known anime, but like there's a lot of collectors you won't see that for. Right. And with Pokemon, I agree. It's a little bit easier to get Pokemon collectibles because we have, you know, the Pokemon Company of America. Like they are here. And so as you can see with Hoffer, if you're watching the video, he has a ton, but these Funkos make it even more accessible. However, me saying this, I will not be getting Eevee until I have confirmed Vaporeon is coming.
but then you may not be able to get Eevee.
It's coming. Eevee
will be gone.
Jim, I have like 80 Funkos. I know where to get Eevee if I need it.
She's got a guy.
I have several.
So that's a thing that you can get. It's available now. Yes. So
I think so.
Yep. So head on out to your local store where you would get said Funkos, and you should be able to find them there. Mm-hmm. Real quick, moving on to the next two things before we get into our deep dive. Trading card game news. We are getting finally. We have some information on when the Sword and Shield era of Pokemon are coming to the trading card game. If you saw us earlier this week, we unboxed basically the starter boxes that had the giant sized Zamazenta and Zacian V cards.
Yeah.
And the three starters, but now we know February 2020, here they come.
The big thing that came out of this is we now know how they're going to do the whole Gigantamax thing, Dynamax and Gigantamax. Not only will there be V cards, which they're officially calling Pokemon V, no card.
Listen,
smart move.
So, but now they're doing VMAX cards, which are basically the Pokemon in their Dynamax or Gigantamax form. They act as kind of an evolution, so you need to have a Pokemon V card in order to play the Pokemon VMAX card. I'll be honest, like, I think that, you know, from what I've seen, the Pokemon V cards that we've seen and the Pokemon VMAX cards we've seen are kind of underwhelming.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, you know, they cost two or three prizes. The VMAX cards cost three prizes if you lose one. And, you know, they don't come with any, like, OP abilities. You know, the nice thing is that you can use the, it's not like the GMAX, like the GX cards, where you can only use your GX move once.
Right.
They have some pretty strong attacks that you can consistently do. But, you know, I was, like, looking at them, and it's like, you know, at first I was like, maybe they're holding something back, but there's some V-cards that are coming out in Japan next week as part of, like, these starter decks, and they have the exact same abilities as what they've released over here in the U.S., so
to me, it feels like they're starting slow and getting people potentially maybe used to the mechanic, and then, I mean, because, what, we had Sun and Moon for a very, very long time, and it wasn't until basically the very end when all of a sudden they were just like, look at all these OP cards, boom, 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 boom.
But like, we're still going to have to deal with that meta.
Well, true, the mechanic,
for the next 2 years. I mean, like, it's not like in official Pokemon card competitions, it's the last eight sets.
Yeah.
You know, it's the last 2 years worth of cards, so, like, all those cards are still going to be in play. You know, like I said, I could be missing something, and we clearly don't have the full set reveal.
Like, I wonder if there will be trainer cards or something that maybe help that along.
There will be 35 trainer cards, and there's only 4 VMAX cards that are coming out with this initial set.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of the other thing that kind of interested me, was, like, the Pokemon that are appearing on the first Sword and Shield booster packs are GMAX Lapras and GMAX Snorlax. That's the reason why we got the GMAX Snorlax reveal today, was because of the cards. But yeah, so that'll be interesting. We'll have lots of coverage of that here in February. So yeah, it's a brand new era. You know, get your V cards ready, guys. Hang on to them if you have them.
I mean, when we did the unboxing, I was very much of the opinion, like, if there are some better abilities, this could have some interesting strategic, like, influence on the games moving forward. But until we can get some more relevant, you know, move sets, the meta isn't going to be very friendly to implementing the Pokemon V right now.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. There's a couple of neat ones. Like, NDD is a pretty nice card because, like, the NDD V, as long as it's on your bench, you can heal your active Pokemon 20 per turn. So, you know, that, like, you know, there's some cards that, you know, will have some, like, nice, like, secondary benefits, but nothing that's so, like, OP or anything like that. So, like I said, it'll be interesting.
All right, and before we get to our break, it's Thanksgiving. tomorrow, which, as you're listening to this, if you listen to this on launch day and live in the States and care about Thanksgiving, it's Thanksgiving.
It is.
And probably by the time you listen to this, Pikachu will have already probably gone past the float in the parade, unless you listen, like, you get up, like, crazy early in the morning, listen to us. Actually, it's probably not true because I think we push this
live. Yeah, I was like,
we're not even awake to push it. So by the time you have heard this, Pikachu has already been in the Thanksgiving Day parade.
And it was wonderful. It was so magical.
Guys, although, we need to do a different copy. What if the float doesn't go?
It may not go. Here's the thing. It may be too windy and we may see Pikachu covered in a net. Rolling down, it was so tragic, so very tragic.
Let me do the alternate cut.
I couldn't believe when that thing that happened with Pikachu happened at the Thanksgiving parade.
Yeah, I'll do the alternate cut just in case. So if you're watching this, Pikachu did not fly in the parade. Unfortunately, it was just too darn windy up in New York City.
Here's my beef with the Pikachu float. I hate that it's Christmassy.
Well, it's because, you know, it's Santa shows up at the end of the Thanksgiving Day parade, Jim.
I get it, but it's not like Goku's wearing a Christmas hat or Spider-Man's wearing a Christmas hat.
That's honestly on Marvel and, you know, Viz. I mean, you know, honestly, I think I would prefer to see Goku with a Santa hat, you know?
Santa Goku. I will say, I don't know. It's just when the Pikachu float first appeared, I
also
want to
make it clear,
so
this is also not me hating on Christmas. I just don't like Pikachu in a Santa.
Jim just really hates Christmas, guys. Like, you know, if you've ever seen him or follow him on Twitter, you know that he is waging a one-man war against the holiday season.
I just don't like Holiday Pikachu.
Well, Holiday Pikachu probably doesn't like you, so it goes both ways. I will say, as much as, like, I don't know. Obviously, those balloons cost so much money.
Oh, millions.
I just, every time I see it, I mean, it's not been around for super, super long, but every time I see it, I'm like, I wish it was a new Pokemon every year. But that's also just me not understanding basic, like, budgeting.
Right. Jim,
no,
weren't
you? It's too much money.
Jim, weren't you in, like, the Thanksgiving Day parade?
For, like, 5 years.
Yeah,
when
I worked
for Build-A-Bear Workshop, I was the mascot. In costume, dancing on the float for 5 years. I got to dance with the Jonas Brothers.
What?
I got to dance with Miley Cyrus when she was Hannah Montana.
Wow. Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. Miranda Cosgrove when iCarly was really big.
This is how Jim rose to power. You know, comicbook.com, was he had all the connections from his time working at Build-A-Bear and also being the official mascot of Marvel. Like, any sort of Marvel thing, like, you know, where, like, Spider-Man would show up, like, that was actually Jim. Yeah. You know, in Spider-Man 1, when, like, Kristen Dunst is holding on to the very obviously fake Spider-Man as they're swinging by, that's actually Jim, guys. It was really impressive. Jim did a great job at that.
All right. Well, with that said, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get back to our deep dive of Sword and Shield coverage so we can make the game easier for you when we return.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, so Christian put together a list of starter Pokemon that he thinks would help you in your coverage. And when I first looked at it, I thought, I haven't used any of these, with the exception of Rookidee. On this list, Christian has Blipbug, Gigantamax EV/Pikachu, which is basically from whatever you got from Let's Go.
So let's frame this. So your first gym battle, you know, is against a grass-type trainer.
Yes.
So, you know, when I came up with this, like, oh, what are some good early Pokemon that you should grab? It was with the thought of what Pokemon could you use to make that first gym battle pretty easy.
Right. I started with
Squirtle. That's basically...
So that's why I didn't need any of these.
Yeah. So you just, like, ran through... Well, you couldn't even use any of these Pokemon, though, because you overpowered all of your Pokemon because that's you true. Spent too much time frolicking in the wild area.
Well, so the problem was... So for Blipbug in particular, I because I had never seen a Blipbug, I had just caught a Dottler. And so yeah. I thought Dottler was the first. I didn't realize yeah. there was a Pokemon before Dottler because I had just never seen one. Until I just looked it up before the podcast started. We had to start twice because I was looking up what Blipbug was. and then the music started playing and I was like, I need to start over.
I actually had a similar problem. So, you know, when we got these games, you know, this was before any strategy guides leaked or, you know, people started playing through and could, like, really help you out. It took me way too long to realize that there were both overworld Pokemon that only popped up in the overworld, like the overworld map, and then, like, there were Pokemon that only appeared via, like, exclamation points and, like, chasing you through the grass. I did not know that for way too long. So I didn't get Blipbug.
I actually didn't realize that until just now.
Yeah.
You're telling me exclamation point, there is exclusive Pokemon.
Yes.
And Pokemon that are also exclusive that you can see.
Yes.
Yes. That is true.
Or any Shield players is one of them. In case.
Is an exclamation
yes.
point?
Yes. If you're looking for a Ponyta, which I'm not even going to go back on that tirade I spent.
It took Megan
very long. You have to find it in the grass. You will not see Ponyta until you see an exclamation point.
Which, like, feels like a real big shame, because Ponyta is probably, like, the most adorable Pokemon. Like, I would want to, like, throw that, like, out as much as I could. Like, I would have probably replaced, like your starter Pokemon. Like, nope, you're getting a Ponyta, because it's the best. And it's going to follow you around everywhere, and you're going to love it and care for it, and it is the best. I personally just got a Ponyta yesterday. Like, I traded for, like, one of my buddies. We did the whole, like, okay, which sword exclusives do you need? What shield exclusives do you need? And we did, like, a big mass trade of, like, four Pokemon.
Question. Are there still trade evolutions?
Yes.
Or are those...
So, okay, so there are Pokemon that, you know, all the trade Pokemon are still there. The nice thing about Pokemon Sword and Shield is that a lot of those Pokemon are now available in either max raid battles or just in the wild. Like, this is the first game where, like, Pokemon like Machamp can mm-hmm. be caught in the wild, where Gorgeist or Trevenant, well, no, Trevenant, I think, was available in Pokemon X and Y, but, like, Gorgeist wasn't, and, you know, that was a Pokemon that you could only get through trading. So there's, like, a lot of them. Like, it's freaking awesome. Like, there are several Pokemon that I had never gotten before, like, that I just didn't have in my living decks, because even one of the weaknesses with the global trade system, while you can get a lot of Pokemon, you know, no one wants to give up that one tradable item, you know, that one item that triggers an evolution while trading for some of these. Like, you know, no one wants to give up that metal coat. Mm-hmm. You know, to get a Steelix. So you either need to trade with yourself, which requires you to have two devices, or your SOL. and so this was really nice. Like, that is why Gigalith, I will have you one of these days. It keeps exploding on me. It happened two times since last week, guys.
I have still been trying to catch a GD Ghastly because I am either playing the game when it is not around that tower where all the ghost Pokemon are in the beginner wild area, yeah. or when I go to catch I went through the Trippy Trolls Forest, and so I'm at that gym, whatever town that was, the Dayglow one.
The fairy type gym.
The fairy gym. The Ghastly that are over by, like where that Snorlax is, but you know,
yeah,
by the entrance.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, the bridge area.
Those are all like one level. Those are like level 46, and I can only get 45.
Yeah, that's the best. They're always,
and I'm
like
just
one
like,
level too high.
So like it was great for grinding and leveling, but like all I want is a GD Ghastly. And every time I get close to one on the lower level ones, they keep doing curse and killing themselves.
Oh yeah, that was super annoying too. I had to so I went and got Gengar, like, you know, a wild Gengar, and that tried to like curse, and Dusknar too, which is another Pokemon that you can usually only get through trading, and those kept like trying to curse themselves. So finally I came out with just like a full on like legion of sleep Pokemon, and I was just like sleeping these. Mr. Rhyme was doing his like merry hypnosis dance. I had like Eldegoss was singing. I can't think who else. I had three Pokemon lined up that was just like, okay, like we're just sleeping and I'm knocking them out.
That's what I need. I need a sleep Pokemon.
And also, you know, get those fastballs if you can. That's the other thing that's useful, because you can try tossing one of those out right at the start of your encounter, and it may or may not work.
You always gotta try.
Or you just waste your Master Ball. Which I'm tempted to on Gigalith. I swear to God, guys. Like, I swear to God. Like, you do not understand. This Pokemon, it vexes me. It vexes me so.
Your Gigalith is my Galarian Weezing.
It's so interesting, because if you're just starting this game, the first couple of gyms are actually, they're not very hard.
No, they're not at all.
But what I like is that the game sort of sets you up. Especially because, to me, I see Sword and Shield as a game that is bringing back a lot of lapsed players in, right? Like players who have a Switch, maybe haven't played the game in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've actually heard that a lot.
You know, didn't get into Let's Go, and so you know, there's a bit, right? And so you have to get used to some of the new mechanics that the game sort of introduces, especially something like the wild area, where you know, the game gives you everything that you need to not make grinding as much of a setback, but like a drag that it used to be able to be, especially with XP share. But I love getting those, you know, the XP rocks or whatever you get from raids and things like that. Like I was like, I want to do a whole bunch of raids because I want, you know, those to help just sort of level up some of my Pokemon, especially ones that, like, if you're like, because I was heading to the Ghost Gym because I'm playing Shield. Alistair has all the Ghost Pokemon, and so I needed, you know, some Dark and Fairy types, and you know, I had found now I'm forgetting its name. What's the fairy bug?
Cottony, Cutie Fly.
Yeah, Cutie Fly. Yeah, so I had caught a Cutie Fly, and I was like, oh, sweet. And I was able to use just some of the stones and stuff that I had gotten from the raids to just, like, bring him up basically where I needed him to be without – because I remember, like, you used rare candies as, you know, only when you needed them for your favorite Pokemon.
Yeah.
And but now, you know, with just sort of the different ways to be able to help level up Pokemon with experience share, it takes a lot of that – you know, busy work out and lets you just sort of breeze through the game in a way, and forces you to go and find Pokemon that you wouldn't necessarily want on your team, but you need on your team to, you know, beat the gym and keep moving on.
Yeah. So my big weakness when it comes to Pokemon games, it was really funny when we were like setting up our coverage for this, our gaming editor Roland was like, oh, you really need to do how much time does it take Pokemon Sword and Shield? I'm like, I am probably the worst person to answer that question because it takes me twice as long, because I like to have a pretty deep pool of Pokemon that are all at the same level, which is fine in the early game. Like, you know, it's not hard to get Pokemon up to level 20, but getting Pokemon up to like level 50 is usually a pain in the butt. Not as much in this game. Like, you know, it kind of topped off at probably for me at level 40, but I probably had, when I was doing my initial playthrough, I probably had a pool of about 45 Pokemon that were all the same level, basically up until the second to last gym. And then once I got there, I was like coming into...
I can't find enough Pokemon I like to want to bring to level 40.
Well, I'll do it. I'll do it with like just about all of them. And the, you know, you gotta remember also, like, this was during like the initial playthrough, so I was doing it with a lot of new Pokemon just so I could like figure out like when these suckers like evolve, like how they evolve. It sometimes worked, sometimes didn't. Like, I, you know, getting Sirfetch'd to evolve, that was the biggest freaking struggle. I had a level, I think it was like level 55 Farfetch'd before that sucker evolved. It was freaking impossible. Even the leakers didn't know how to evolve Farfetch'd. So it was like this grand mystery. But
I think we can all agree that the Curry Dex is just a waste of time.
The Curry Dex is a waste of time. The Curry itself is fine. Like, I like the Curry. It's helpful for when you're grinding in the wild area, like, you know, and you're taking all these like body blows and your Pokemon are getting the snot kicked out of you. You can just whip up some Curry and everything's good. Like, you don't have to go to the nearest Pokemon center. It's awesome.
I just fly back to the one that's in the meetup area and then just ride my bike back to wherever I need to go. Squirtle, to me, has been a great starter. I have, like I said, I'm coming up on, I guess this is gym number 5, and he has been a rock solid player for me.
Have you evolved him all the way into Cinderace yet?
Yes.
So then I feel no offense. They officially revealed all the starter evolutions today. So it's no longer spoilers. It's officially revealed material. I will say that Cinderace probably has the second best attack animation in the game.
Like
that Pyro Ball move where he like kicks a stone and turns into a soccer ball and then kicks it at your face. Freaking awesome. Second best one. The first one, of course, is Phalanx and their like no retreat move, which is basically just straight out 300. You literally have Pokemon versions of Spartans playing out a scene from 300. And it is like the first time I saw that, I died. I died laughing. I like literally fell off my chair. I was laughing. I had to pause the game. I was laughing so hard. Like, my wife and child came to check up on me because it was that hysterical. Best freaking move in the game. But Scorbunny definitely has the second best. All three star Pokemon are actually really good. Not a fan of Inteleon's like design, but his snipe shot is,
oh my gosh, that snipe like, shot is just chef kiss perfection.
Yeah, that thing. Like, I love it. Like, it ignores ignores all abilities. So, like, someone's got Protect, doesn't matter. Like, yep. Someone has Reflect, doesn't matter. It is awesome. And Grookey's evolution, Rillaboom. You know, he's rock solid too. Like, you know, he's got a move. His base move is something about his drums. I can't, like, booming drum or something like that, but it lowers speed. So he's a surprisingly fast Pokemon, and so then you can slow down just about anybody, and it's a strong grass attack. It's great. Like, they're all three, like, I actually like all three starter Pokemon. A lot of people are like, oh, I'm not keeping them on my team. Like, that, like, these are pretty good Pokemon, to be honest. Like, all their exclusive moves are pretty solid.
I do want to, before we go, I want to talk about two characters really quick. Hop, in my opinion, I'm worried about Hop. Like, spoiler wise, whatever. So, you know, here is a spoiler warning in case Megan and Christian reveal something about Hop that you may or may not want to know. But I am at the fifth gym and I am more just worried about his emotional well-being because he has gotten beaten a few times from Bead. And is just like, and just has this, oh my God, I'm never going to live up to my brother's high and my family's high, lofty expectations of me. How am I ever going to be? And I'm just like, bro, calm down.
I will say this. Watching Hop's like character arc in this, I'm actually very disappointed that he did not become the main villain of this entire, of this game. Like, it's there. It's freaking there. Like, you know, this is this kid who's just cracking under pressure and can't live up to it. So why wouldn't he, like, go and, like, I don't know, try to capture a legendary Pokemon and, like, unleash hell upon the Galar region by his stupidity? Well, see,
like, that's the thing. That's, like, what Bede would do. The thing is like, I know people like to complain. Like, there's a couple of writers who will not go named in our office who just keep complaining about Hop because he's quote-unquote annoying.
He's like season one Midoriya from My Hero Academia.
Yeah, but the thing is, whoa! Like... Wow.
How I'm just, dare you?
Okay, we're just going to brush past that for the sake of time, and I'll bring it up after this podcast ends. But I will say, like, his character growth towards the end, like, it makes me really like him. Uh-huh. Mm. However, in terms of all characters, nobody has better growth than Marnie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Marnie is like, you know, like I am surprised that we haven't gotten like a billion pieces of character art of Marnie.
You're just looking in the wrong place, apparently. Well, because that's just
I'm looking in the appropriate places, Megan.
All
like,
right.
You know, I have to like manage my Twitter feed because, you know, I do this from like my day job and stuff like that. So I can't be having any risque Marnies popping up on my feed. But, like, you know, I love her. She's a great character. I love her slang. I love everything about her. Marnie's freaking awesome. The thing that kind of annoys me about this entire game, about the characters, is how much they emphasize that freaking Leon, who's a moron, by the way, and yes! should also be in prison.
Yes!
Leon is the worst. And, like, they're like, yes, the unbeatable Leon in his unbeatable Charizard. It's like, I've got an Inteleon that one-shotted that sucker. Like, you know, like, I just took him on in a rematch, and I smoked him so bad, like, I didn't even need to use my main team. I was like, hey, Inteleon, you got this? And he's just like, finger gun, dead. Like, yeah. Like, what is this joke? Like, yeah. like the Galar region sucks. Like, this their is trainers probably, like, just are awful.
The Galar League is definitely... Like, I feel like Leon was its first winner. Yeah. Like, the first ever championship was the one that he won. And
well, especially what, like, the guy who's the, who's at the fire gym.
Yeah.
Who is just like, he's like, he's basically regarded as the number two.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what? No, you can't. If you were the second gym, you are not number two next to Leon if everyone's saying what they want to say about Leon.
Yeah, no. It's amazing. I can't wait for the anime when they get to Galar and Ash just shows up and he's like, and I'm literally going to kill him.
This Ash is Pikachu. Like, Pikachu, one shot this entire region.
Yeah, this Pikachu has more power in its pinky than every Pokemon in this region.
Oh my god.
The other character I want to talk about is someone who I just hated up until Gym 4, basically, and that's Bede.
Yeah.
Bede was like just this insufferable, just, you know, a-hole, and then you learn, like, when, you know, he gets ditched by Rose and whatnot, and you learn about his backstory, I'm just like, oh man, now I feel really bad.
I mean, he was, like, raised to be that. Like, they, he was literally just, like, brought up to be this person. It wasn't of his own choosing. So then when, spoiler, the fairy gym trainer gets to him and is like, that is my favorite scene in the game.
Yeah,
that's is when a great the scene. Very the fairy gym leader sees Bede and loses her mind. She the facial pink. Animations, pink. It's just like the best.
Oh yeah, no, like Bede. The only thing that I don't like about Bede is in how the game progressed. If they would have just kept it as like Bede being the snot out of Hop. That makes a lot of sense. Like, you know, like, it fits for both their characters. But, like, you, like, pound the crap out of Bede. And, like, you know, like, I was running, like, two different Dark-type Pokemon at that point in time in the game. Because I had, like, Thievul and Purloin on my team. So, like, you know, I was just, like, running through his team like it was freaking tissue paper. And, you know, then he's like, oh, I let you win. I was like, dude, I could, like, you know, de-pants you. Take your lunch money right now. Like, you know, like, you are just the worst. It's like, I didn't understand his arrogant streak. Then again, I was so far superior to every other gym, you know, every other person in this region. Like, it's not even funny.
The interesting thing about Bede is that they have, like, they kind of play his gender, At first, I thought Beatty was a girl. Mm-hmm. And then I read the trainer card, and I was like, oh, no. But then they always just refer to Bede as Bede. And I was like, oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Huh. Now that might be there's a couple that could be a deliberate choice by the Pokemon Company. It could just be coincidence. Like I like the ambiguity. Like I'm all about more non-binary characters. I wish it would have been a little bit more explicit in it. Like they're kind of doing with Blanche. Right. Then again, like, and this is a really dumb thing to say. I mean, I'm sure that somebody will be mad when I say this. Like like, acknowledging that there are, that there is such a thing as non-binary can be considered a controversial opinion, as dumb as that is. So, like, I get it, from some level, but I do like it. It's kind of like, Go is kind of in the anime. Mm-hmm. Go is not presented as non-binary, but, he is a, his character design is deliberately... androgynous, yeah. which I like, we do not need, especially a game like Pokemon, you got like these freaking weirdos all over the place. They do not need to conform to your typical gender biases. Gender is just a construct anyways. Christian Hoffer. Yeah.
And just real quick truth before we end, to bring back this entire discussion, when you fight the first grass gym... Use Rookidee.
Yeah.
Thievul's also not a bad choice. I got it with Rookidee. So there we go.
Rookidee, and like my Corviknight now has been a staple part. And it's always been that way for me, for like even going back to the very, very beginning. Like Pidgeot was always a member. I've always had a sort of that beginning flyer, beginning mm-hmm. bird type as a core member of my team. And so far in this game, it's been, although it was weird that. What the hell is Rookidee evolve into? I keep forgetting.
Corvisquire.
Corvisquire can't learn Steel Blade.
That's because he's just a pure flying type.
Well, right, but he learns it when he turns into Corviknight. Yes.
So it just evolves into Corviknight.
Let me use it.
We'll cover gyms like 2 and 3 and maybe 4 next week on the podcast. So we'll like do like a quasi walkthrough over the next few weeks.
It is good that I am taking my time through the game because
I really wish I could have taken my time through the game. Like that is my one regret with having the game early is I kind of had to like plow through it for the sake of coverage. So I didn't get Blipbug. I didn't know Blipbug was a thing.
What I mean. I just picked up a Dottler and I love Dottler. Dottler and that whatever the thingy.
Or Beetle.
Like Orbeetle is.
That one, his Gigantamax form cracks me up. But we'll cover that next week because I think we need to get out of the studio.
We got to get out of here. Christian, what's the Pokemon fact of the week?
Okay, so we're kind of continuing our unofficial walkthrough of the Pokedex. So this week is a nice little fact about Rattata. Now, Rattata, as somebody like yelled at me on Twitter this week when I was talking about one of the weird Pokemon from Pokemon Sword and Shield, and I was like, it's literally a Colcart with a head, which I love. And someone's like, "Well, Rattata is just a purple rat. What's your point?" I was like, "My point is it's a Colcart with a head. That's what my point is." So, anyways, but the Alola Rattatat is actually really interesting. So that Pokemon actually has a basis in how Hawaii came to have the mongoose. So, back when Hawaii had a much more agricultural bent. They had some issues with rats. So they decided to go and get Asian mongooses to take care of that. Here's the problem. The rats in Hawaii were nocturnal creatures, and mongooses are day creatures. So it didn't work at all. And instead of having one problematic species, now they had problematic rats and the invasive mongoose. And this is literally reflected straight up in Pokemon Sun and Moon. Rattatas can only be found at night. And, young goose can only be found in the day. And that is to reflect not only how this, like, the weird relationship between these two real-life species, the rat and the mongoose, but also how introducing invasive species never works in real life. And, like, you don't really think of that. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, like, the rattatas are these evil cops and the young goose are, like, the detectives chasing them. Also, by the way, real life thing that actually happened in Hawaii. Love it. Absolutely love it. That's awesome.
This is definitely like my favorite Pokefex.
Because
it's like history based.
Like I love when the makers of this game are taking into account cultural regional things when making decisions. Like we talked about for weeks, like what are the Galarian, you know, variants going to be and why and things like that are just like why, you know, and it's things like this that I love. If you are new to the show, new episodes of A Wild Podcast has appeared, show up every Thursday wherever podcasts can be found. If you want to hit any of us up on Twitter, you can find me at Jim Viscardi.
I'm at Megan Peters CB.
And I am at C Hoffer C Bus.
We'll catch you next week, folks, when our walkthrough of Sword and Shield continues. Catch you next time.